Pop-up podcast with Jessica and Josh. Thanks for watching and tuning in, guys. Listen, today we're going on our part two, which is about spanking. So we're talking about, this is a series about disciplining your children. We're talking about spanking today because people have different perspectives. Some people feel like children need to be spanked, and then you got others who don't feel like the children need to be spanked. So let's get into it.
How do you feel about that? You think children should be spanked and whooped?
I think when it comes to communication, that there's other ways that parents can communicate to that child their needs.
You think so?
Absolutely. I think oftentimes when people who don't know how to express anger want to express it, it comes out in the form of spanking.
Is anger a proper form of communication?
I'm going to say negative.
That's a whole other conversation.
And so here's my perspective. Growing up, many of y'all who from uptown in Philly, y'all know me.
Uptown,
y'all know my family. And so
Saturday night,
y'all know how often we were getting beatings for any and everything just for being kids. So we go outside, we get beaten. We ain't do our homework, we was getting beat. We ain't clean the house, we was getting beat. So we're always getting beatings for something. And so what that taught me personally, I don't know what my brother learned from it, but what it taught me personally is that if you do wrong, there's going to be negative, harsh consequences. That's just my perspective. And even with that, I'm not really sure that I learned anything other than that. And the reason why I say that is when they would beat us, we would just try to do things just not to get beat. Or not to get caught, to get beat, if that makes sense.
But y'all would still do wrong, though.
We would, and
y'all some gangsta.
But let me say this. It's wrong in the eyes of the beholder. And so for us, we were just being kids. We wanted to just go outside and play. And so my uncle would never let us go out and play. He said, you need to be on a computer, you need to be reading books. We couldn't be kids.
As a child.
And so
I can't get these kids off these computers.
I'm trying, and that's interesting because I didn't really grow up in a technology age. I did know how to use a computer at a very young age, but you know, computers wasn't that big back then. We were probably the only people in our neighborhood with a computer.
Wow.
And so now that this is a technology age, you can find things for your kids to do to keep them occupied. So back then we go out and we played in the streets.
Yeah, we used to roll a bat.
I don't even know what that is.
That don't mean nothing. Two square, four square. We play a lot of stuff. We used to make up games in my house. I think, you know, spanking is a funny topic because there are so many people that have spanking and whooping and whatever you want to call it ingrained so far in their generations that they think that's the proper way to go. And there have been study after study after study to show that spanking is counterproductive. It is just not the way to go. Because I'm going to give you about four different kind of examples.
Just give us two.
Okay, I'm going to give you two examples, but I'm going to multiply it by two. So what's going to happen is I'm just going to give it to you straight, no chasing. You got the little boy who does not get attention at all. This little boy will do wrong so he can get a spanking.
Right.
The spanking, when he knows he gets wrong, will be his only form of attention. I've seen little kids as young as 5 years old looking at their parent, looking at them while their parents on the phone, and they'll go up to the cup of milk and turn it over and look at the parent. And the parent, what's wrong with you? The parent run over there and give a spanking. The child will prop itself for the spanking. Because that's the attention he's going to get. So now he feels like the only way I'm going to get attention, even if it's bad or good, is from doing something wrong. And spankings can be a negative form of attention. Second case. I did a whole program with Department of Juvenile Justice. I was in the jails for 10 weeks dealing with these inmates. And they went all the way up to 19 years old. No, 17. Once they hit 18, they had to transform to the real prison. They were in prison, but it wasn't like
juvenile delinquents versus inmates.
Yeah, they were locked up.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, how many of you all were spanked? All of them raised their hands. They was like, yeah, I got spanked. Oh, yeah, me too, man. And they would break down the story. I remember one time my mother hit me with this belt and the belt bucket hit me and left a scar on me. Another time, this, that, and another. And they was just bragging about the stories of getting spanked.
Right.
And I said to them, I said, was it productive? Oh, yeah, of course it was. I said, did it work? Yeah, all the time. I said, well, why are y'all here then if the spankings worked? And you should have seen these boys. They all just looking at each other
you
like.
You did a Jedi mind trick on me, Mr. Judge. What? But that's real.
So think about it. You are punishing them for doing wrong, which in most cases, a child should receive some sort of punishment, but goes back to the last thing. It's a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reaction.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling, one thing I don't do is I will not tell a parent how to raise their child. I will not tell you not to spank or to spank. I will not say this is good, this is bad, or whatever. I will give you how the brain operates and how communication works.
Right.
When a child consistently receives negative things for things that he does negative, the brain is not processing, I should do right. Mm-hmm. The brain is not processing, I should do left, I should do right, I should go up, I should go down. The brain is processing, this is what I'm used to doing, mm-hmm. this is what I will continue to do. It's not functioning in a capacity where it says, if I don't do this, I won't get a spanking. But mm-hmm. if I do this, it's functioning like, I'm going to do this, let me prepare for my spanking.
Right.
I know I'm going to get a spanking. It's functioning like, okay, I'm going to steal this car. I'm probably going to go to jail anyway, so let me still steal it. If I get away with it, and I've heard young people say, I don't care if something happened to me. But because they've already on the outcome that something bad is going to happen for what they're doing. But it's the mentality of if they're preparing themselves for that whooping or that spanking, it doesn't matter what the outcome or what they do is going to change because they're going to get the whooping anyway. So, in my mindset, I'm not here to say if it's wrong or bad. I think that there's always a better way to handle it. Dealing with the young people I deal with, some of them come from some really tough situations. And when one child says something to me, and he looked at me like, what you gonna do, Mr. Peltier?
And I challenging said, you.
Challenge. But the situation is, he's challenging me because he's ready for the pushback that he's getting from home. And I said to him, well, what would you like for me to do? He was dumbfounded.
Right.
What do you mean? I'm like, what do you want me to do? What do you mean? Like, he didn't have a retaliation. Because when you get a spanking, you tense up.
Right.
You know, I did that. Oh, let me prepare for it. Mm-hmm. He was prepared to ready to come back at me, but he didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, right now, I can see what's happening. And I remember when I saw him get picked up, and I saw how the mother acted to him, and she was dragging him and pulling him. I said, I can see why he's always in that mentality.
Man on the defense.
Because he's always on the defense because he's expecting to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And I said, you tell me what you think you should do.
Right. Right.
And I said, well, let's just take a vote from the class. I bring them up to the front. I was like, how many think that I should kick him out the class for what he did and have him never to come back? You'll see half the kids raise their hand, half of them not. And I said, well, what do you think? Why do you think I should kick him out? Well, because he's disturbing the class and he's not helping us get it, whatever. And I said, why didn't you raise your hand? Well, he might have made a mistake. And maybe he didn't know he made a mistake. And with side note, she might have had likeness for the little boy too, but that's another conversation. But what I'm trying to say is I let them work it out.
Right.
Instead of automatically reacting.
Right.
And starting with the automatic punishment. Now, I'm not saying not to punish your young people. I'm saying there's so many different forms of punishment that is like much more detrimental than a spanking. Taking a phone away from these kids, I have no idea what it is, but it's like they can't breathe.
Yeah. Death it's, upon phone.
It's like, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. It's almost like adults in Facebook jail. They come back and be so, I was in jail for 2 days. They be so angry about Facebook
I know some jail. People in Facebook jail is ridiculous.
It's funny.
But I do think that you have to form some sort of
alternative response
or reinforcement, whatever you want to call it, because they can't just get away with what they did. But I'm not sure if spanking is the right way to go all the time.
I agree.
Because if a child constantly does wrong and he knows he's going to get a spanking, this is not going to stop his behavior from doing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just going to keep on doing wrong for the rest of his life.
Right.
So if you want to change the behavior, you have to have a conversation with the child.
Right.
Why did you do that?
Right.
What? Explain to me what was going on in your head.
Right.
And let the child talk it out. Then y'all can come to a conclusion. So, okay, so next time, if you do it, this is what's going to happen. So next time, so now the child can start to think. And you start in brain development.
Yes.
But if you always spanking them and just beating them and whipping them all the time, what happens when you're not there to whip them?
Right. Well, that's one part of it. But then the other side is that you can push them to a certain lifestyle that will encourage that conditioning of wanting a negative reaction. And so the other side to it, again, talking about my own family life, my brother has life in prison. And so what I can remember as a child is that besides, now we both were beat all the time. Let's get straight. And so for me, my thought process behind it is, let me stop doing stuff to get beaten. I'm a little rational. Brother, on the other hand, not so much. And so he would just do more and more things, and he was getting worse and worse, because not only after a while they stopped beating us, mainly because we call it DHS, but the other side to it was he realized that there were consequences that were in his favor. So now it goes from feeling almost fearful of doing things to almost like, I can do what I want now because there's no consequences.
Yeah.
So then that's the opposite end of it. And by doing that, and so oftentimes I see parents who they don't, so that's the other side. So when you don't spank a child or you don't have alternative responses to a child, oftentimes what happens is that child is wild. You know, like literally they're like, you ain't gonna do nothing to me.
Yeah.
Just like, what you about to do is this opposite. It's like, you ain't gonna do nothing to me. And so again, it's all communication, guys. You know, from how you respond to that child, whether it's with a beating or not with a beating, or how you say certain things versus yelling, you know, calm tone versus yelling, all of that is communication. And the most important thing that you have to recognize is that you're always in control.
Yeah. You are always in control. Very good. But you want the child to be in control.
Right. And that's where critical thinking and emotional intelligence.
Yes.
So let's talk about those two things.
Okay.
Because what you just said earlier was by having those teachable moments, we talked a little bit about that in the previous one, but we can go deeper now. This is where you are helping your child develop skill sets of problem solving, critical thinking, and using themselves and their emotions in a positive manner to foster encouraging relationships and more personable interactions. And so let's talk about that for a minute. How do you feel about that? So let's, I guess, do away with the spanking for a minute.
Well, we can still incorporate it with what you're saying.
But talk about how, based on how the parent communicates to that child, making it a teachable moment, that how that can help and encourage and foster children to critically think and use their emotional intelligence.
Yes, and I'm telling you, this is one of the most underserved topics, I think, in parenting across the board. I mean, you'll hear topics about how to, you know, brush your teeth, how to wash your clothes, how to do this, how to do that, how to get good grades. But the emotional intelligence and the social emotional intelligence is so undervalued that it's a hindrance to how the child develops. Hmm. Now, when you're always beating or whooping, and it could be looked at as a form of abuse. I'm not calling anybody an abuser or whatever. But when you're always first to sit down or I'm about to spank you, stop doing that or you're going to get a spanking, you are hindering the child's brain from going any lateral movement. It's stuck in this paradigm because it's not allowed to open up new avenues or ways to do things. So if you're always on the defensive of he needs a spanking, then it's not going to allow the child to his brain to grow at all. Mm-hmm. So if you do react and you have those opportunities to have different what do you call it? You said different aspects of reinforcement or something like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. which I thought was a very good term. You're allowing the child to talk. Mm-hmm. And so if I say to you, Jessica, why did you paint your toenails in the middle of the floor? And now there's toenail polish all on the carpet. Why did you do that? And you say, what would you say to that?
Well, mommy, I didn't have no place else.
Okay. You didn't have any place else. You couldn't have done that on the
bathroom. I wanted to watch TV.
You couldn't have done that on the bathroom floor.
I wanted to watch TV. Went,
okay. Could you have done those things separately? Watch TV and paint?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so this is a formula I'm going to give everybody. I'm going to give this.
Give it.
I'm going to probably give it.
Give it!
You want to ask a child at least 5 questions.
Got it.
5. 2 of them they know the answer to for sure. Whatever it is. What's your favorite color? Whatever. That gets the child in the process of talking. 3 are thinking questions. They're thinking questions, but this one, they may not know the answer to. On purpose. That's why you give them the answer on the 5th one. Mm-hmm. It's a theory. You got them to listening. You encourage them to give you feedback because they've given you something that you know the answer to. You say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I knew that. So they feel good. Then you give them some other questions to have them think. Then you give them a 3rd one they don't have the answer to.
I like that.
That way you can have a conversation.
Can you role play that out?
You can. Okay. So do the whole, let's do the
nail polish.
Yeah. Why were you painting your nails in the house?
I like purple.
Okay, good. Got the questions? You got. What made you think it was okay to paint them on the floor?
Well, I wanted to watch TV.
Oh, so you wanted to watch TV?
Yes.
Awesome. So is that your favorite TV show?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And why is that your favorite TV show?
Because Ernie is just so funny.
Ernie is so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Now,
JJ.
Who's going to pay for this carpet to get cleaned that you put fingernail polish on the floor for? See, exactly. So, now, I placed a little bit of blame, but now the child has to think because it was a dramatic switch. Did we good? Felt good? Felt good? Ooh, that's a hard question, Dad.
Yeah.
How am I going to deal with that? So now we've changed the mode without having to change the mode.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so listen, I really think your toenails are pretty. I think you do an excellent job of painting your toenails. I think you have some of the prettiest toenail polish I've ever seen in my life.
Thanks, Dad.
You know what I'm saying? You probably have the skill set of being a painter one day. You paint toes so well. The challenge that I have, Jessica, is now that you've made this mess on the floor, somebody has to clean it up. And I don't mind you painting your toes. I think you can paint your toes anywhere you want to as long as you don't what?
Make a mess.
Make a mess. 6th question. You answer it with them going to, with the intent for them to answer at the end. That means they're paying attention. You had to do all this stuff. And then you always do this. You always do this. Jessica, I appreciate you for listening to me. I'm not mad about you painting your toenails. Just let's don't do that again, okay? Let's make sure every time we paint our toes that we're not going to make a mess because Daddy has to clean it up. And that makes Daddy feel bad when he has to clean up a mess.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right? Have a good night.
Shake your head when you...
Always shaking your head. Yes. That's subconscious nonverbal. That's a trick. They automatically, whatever somebody's doing, if you shake your head enough, they automatically feel they got to shake. Ain't that right, Jessica?
Yeah.
She can't help it. So understand, I'm not going to do the theory again, but that's how it works. Now, did I scream at you?
No.
Did I yell at you? Mm-mm. Did I cuss you out?
Nope.
Did I spank you?
Nope.
Did I raise my voice?
Nope.
Did I go off on you?
Nope.
What did happen?
I was able to, one, learn a new way to paint my nails where I didn't mess up everything. You helped me to understand that by me doing that, that negative consequence caused the carpet to be messed up.
Yes.
And then lastly, you also encouraged me to continue to do that activity, but try not to.
Okay, back it up.
He
now,
wasn't expecting all those learning
moments. How did it make you feel? What feeling would you take away from that?
I felt safe.
Safe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you feel like you could do in the future that you might have a possibility of doing? What did I say?
Paint my nails again.
You can paint your nails again, and then what else did I say? You might be one of the
best nail painters
in the world.
Best nail painter in the world.
So now, the next time you go to paint your nails, what will you do?
Not do it on the carpet.
Why not?
Because daddy got to clean up.
And?
It's going to make a mess. And he don't like it.
And what else?
What?
I said something very important when I was talking to you.
You did a lot of talking.
So that shows you. Very good. So you picked up on the key point.
Yeah.
The human brain only remembers about 20% of what you tell it.
Yeah.
So when people have all this information, people are like, oh, I ain't going to remember that no way. You only remember two out of 10 things somebody tells you.
That's right.
Most of the time. But I said something. I said it makes me feel bad.
Right.
So now, subconsciously, obviously your subconscious didn't. Your subconscious is going to notice. Your conscious may not. But your subconscious is going to be like, ooh, I don't want to paint my nails on the floor.
Last time made daddy feel bad. Yeah.
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 And that's personal response. You also taught them personal responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So now.
And accountability.
So now when she goes to school, she will be able to use what we just talked about in the situations.
Yeah.
She can go to, ooh, Johnny, don't do that. My daddy said, excuse me, when I painted my toenails on the floor, that wasn't a good thing, and it made him feel bad. If you do that with Miss Jackson, that's not going to make her feel good.
Yeah. And see, that's the social responsibility now. So your child will then go out and begin to teach others.
Yes.
How to be held accountable, personally accountable, and also be responsible for their actions.
Yes. And since I didn't.
That's the social emotional.
Since I didn't react, and since I didn't go off on you, now you have a way of dealing with stuff when you have children.
Right.
Now you have a way of dealing with stuff when situations come to you.
Right.
Now, instead of you thinking, I want that piece of candy, I don't have any money,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to steal it.
Right.
Now you're thinking, I'll wait till I get the money so I can pay for the candy because I won't feel bad and the person at the store won't feel bad if I take from them.
Right. So you not only broke a cycle, but you're now creating a new tradition with that child. And so a lot of people, as we talked about maybe briefly, and it may have been off camera, but we talked about how there's certain things that happen to us that it almost is passed on like it's a tradition, almost like an inheritance of behaviors. And so be mindful of stuff like that. You know, if just because it happened in your family, you can break the cycle.
Yes.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah. And when people say, my mother did that, my grandmother did that, my great grandmother, okay, good, fine, dandy. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's right.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the way you're communicating is the correct or the most beneficial way of communicating. I know a lady right now who has 10 children. How long are we going to look at each other? We used to do this when we were growing. We used to stare.
I'm listening to you.
I'm not going
to
blink. I'm not going
to
blink.
I thought you were about to say something very profound.
She has 10 children.
Lady that lived in a shoe, by the way.
She has five of them incarcerated, five of them not.
Mm-hmm.
The first five, she said, are all incarcerated. The last five, she said, I don't want any of them going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I said, what did you do differently from the first five. She said, I think I talked to the second five a little bit different. And I stopped blaming. This is important. This is a whole nother conversation.
Okay.
I stopped blaming them for what me and their father did. Whole different kind of mentality. Of course, the second set of fathers, I think she had like three fathers out of all of them. But they were a little bit different, even though they didn't work it out. They were easier to deal with than the first one, because I think he was incarcerated as well. So to go back to your point, you can change your mindset on how you deal with stuff.
Right.
There's always a better way to do things. And if you want your children to have a better outcome, more than likely, you have to have a communication bridge between you and them.
Right. For sure.
But if you yelling and spanking and going off on them all the time, it's going to close communication off in a heartbeat.
Right.
I know a son right now. He said, I can't wait to go to college because I'm never coming back home.
Right.
I said, why not? He said, your mother gave you everything. He said, mm-mm. I don't like how she talked to me, this, that, and the other. She was, I'm good.
And that's a whole nother topic.
Whole nother topic. Because I know another young man like that. He ran away.
Yeah. I mean, so there's, and I think sometimes with parenting, we'll end this thought or this session kind of to this direction sometimes with how some people feel about parenting, that, well, if I give you everything, you supposed to listen to me.
I know a kid right now, who we.
And so unfortunately what that teaches, and just always look at each moment as a teachable moment.
Every moment is a teachable moment.
Every
there is moment. Not
literally
a moment that is not a teachable moment.
Yeah.
If you have an opportunity to have a child and a child is listening to you, teach.
Yeah. Because they're going to listen.
They will listen. And kids, believe it or not, they want you to tell them what to do.
They do.
They want you to tell them what to do.
They sure
they do. They always say, I can't wait till I leave because I don't, that ain't what it is. You just sick of hearing what they telling you.
Right.
But they always want you to be told what to do.
Right.
So you got to tell them something that's going to benefit them.
That's right. And I can say that there are a lot of things that I learned growing up, rather it been from other people's parents, rather it been from my family, because my mom died when I was really young, and my father's been incarcerated all my life. And so being raised by the grandparent generation, you know, that's pretty common in my generation growing up, knowing that there are always going to be things that were done differently from generation to generation. And so, you know, rather, and it's not like a young versus old mother or father thing, but certain things were passed on that were commonplace in older generations than in the newer generations, I would say, if we just comparing. And so what you want to be mindful of is having a healthy balance. And so while the one side of it is you give your children everything as a form of discipline because you think by giving it to them, it's going to stop them from doing things, that can be a hindrance. Of course, spanking them could be a hindrance. Being responsive versus, like, there's always going to be a consequence. But I think if you use a combination of effectively communicating with that child, you can't go wrong. And just know that anytime your child say, I can't wait to get out here, that means you're doing everything right. I promise you, when your child say, I can't wait, I'm tired of you telling me what to do, especially if you're not spanking them, like, literally, it's because they know in comparison to their other friends' lives. So children are very observant. Don't think that anything that you're doing and saying, children aren't paying attention. When they go over to a friend's house, they don't have no structure, and the parents are just letting them kids wild out, they can't wait to come home. Trust me.
Yeah.
And so don't ever feel like you're being a bad parent, because you are doing that, teaching your child, helping them develop their emotional intelligence and their problem solving, critical thinking. Don't ever think that. They'll be more successful in life, I think.
They have a better chance being successful.
Yeah.
Because every child needs a parent.
Yeah.
And my mother always used to say, kids cannot raise themselves.
Yeah.
And if a kid feels like he has to raise himself, there's going to be some serious bumps in the road. We all got bumps in the road.
Right.
But you want to have somebody who you can fall back on and talk to. Now, understand this. I understand how difficult it is to be a parent.
Parent, yeah.
I know the challenges. I'm not here trying to browbeat anybody.
Right.
On what you're going through. I know you might be a single parent working 3-4 jobs and got all these kids. It's hard for you to do this, all of that. I know you got all these other kind of situations. You may be a 2-household family and you got a perfect quote-unquote family and still have the same challenges.
Right.
I know how challenging it is to be a parent. I'm not belittling. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids. I know it's tough.
Yeah.
But if you understand or take the time out to communicate with your children effectively, you won't have to do any yelling or screaming.
I agree.
You won't have to be cussing out. You won't have to be beaten. It's a process. But once it takes hold, it takes hold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was a little different kind of child.
We know.
My mother used to throw books at me. I mean, like dictionaries. But see, I was gifted. I used to catch them and stack them. Mama, why are you throwing all these books?
You still act like that, y'all.
My father, he was very reactive. As soon as he saw you doing something, then he would say, "What you doing? Now you gonna ask me?" You already hit me? What kind of game is this?
That's right.
Yeah, but he had some crazy punishments for us. He would say, "Y'all still up? Go outside on the porch." It'd be like 10:30 at night. We supposed to be in bed. We in our drawers.
Oh,
we on the porch in our drawers. We up there trying to haul the daggone, what's that? The mat.
Uh-huh.
The welcome mat. Man, you taking too much of the mat. Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
He used to make us sit on our knees in the corner. That was some painful stuff. Look at the face of the corner. What you turning around for?
Oh my goodness.
My sister never got any kind of punishment, by the way. But it was tough. It was. So I stopped doing, but I almost I was smarter than them. I shouldn't say this. I'm not going to say it.
They're going to watch this and he's going to get a grown person being.
Because I got away with a lot of stuff because I was so good. I was so smarter than they were.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, your point is well taken. I think the funny part about being a kid is we always think we're smarter than our parents.
But I was, though.
And not even so much that you're not. It's like, how can I get over on them? So, yeah. I think it's important. I think I'm going to do this for myself is take some parenting classes. One thing I just want to make note of as we come to the end of this podcast is that there's different development stages of children. And so I'll give Michael Jackson as a quick example. People thought he was a child molester. In my opinion, he was not a child molester, but he was still stuck in a childlike state because when you're dealing with developmental stages, if the child doesn't get a chance to go through
That's right.
what that child needs That's to right. go through during that particular
Very
age
good. Very good.
Bracket
Very good.
Or time frame, they stay stuck there.
They do.
And so with that being said, it's not that, and I concur with him, we're not saying that people are bad parents, we're not judging you, none of that. But there's things that's going to happen with children that you can't wrap your mind around because there's no book on it.
Right.
Unless you literally went to school for developmental psychology.
Right. You really have to know how to communicate.
Like, and the communication is one side of it, knowing that how to react to a child at different stages. So the terrible two stage and then a teenager stage when they're just, it's so many different things developmentally. It's a lot to know. And so what you don't know is what you just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But I make it a point to know.
I mean, it's important.
I deal with these young people and they tell me everything.
Yeah.
Because
the
more information I have, the more I know how to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse. And this happened to a parent I know. The young man got in trouble. He beat up somebody. The parent went to court and said, "My son didn't do it. My son didn't do it. My son didn't do it. He told me he didn't do it." Come to find out later, he said, "Mom, I gotta tell you something. I did do it." But he's in there defending him on the stand, going to bat for him. She said that broke her heart.
Yeah.
But he kept that secret from her because he didn't want her to react in a negative way.
Right.
Now, if he would have just told her in the beginning, I did it, they could have figured out a different way how to handle it. She said she was so crushed.
Yeah.
She went into that courtroom and lied for her son, basically, but she didn't know she was lying. But the communication
was not
there. There was a barrier in that situation.
Yeah.
And she's the, I don't want to say beat him a lot. She didn't beat him, but she was verbal abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he probably didn't trust her to tell her the truth.
He didn't trust her.
And so, I mean, trust for children to an adult goes both ways. So you have to trust that, one, your children respect and understand your perspective so that you can communicate that to them, whatever way that may be to you. When we talk about effective communication, we're just talking about in a way that they can receive what's being said and still be able to grasp it and be able to carry it through in the future. You know, that's what we mean by effective communication. If you taught them something, they should remember it and know how to deal with it next time around. And even with the spanking, they're going to learn something from a spanking, you know, rather it's to do certain things for attention, or they know I'll get a spanking, so I need not to do it. Whatever it is, you're going to teach them something. But the end result, I feel, and that's what we're trying to reiterating, is if you do it and you communicate with them verbally, you're able to redirect and encourage and foster their development emotionally and cognitively.
Yeah. Now, I do know parents that do spank, but they'll have a conversation before they spank.
Right. You're going to get a beating today, Johnny.
Do you know why?
You understand?
Yes.
When we get in the house, you're getting a beating.
I've seen that. And I can't tell you how productive or not. I didn't get the results on that. But I know two people that, I don't care what, he going to get it. I'm going to talk to him.
And they cried right after they beat him.
Yeah, I've seen
that too. Ineffective, I'm just saying.
I've seen mothers cry as soon as they gave their son a spanking.
Yeah, it's just like, why are you beating him in the first place if you crying? Yeah. He should be crying. And then he in his room laughing at him.
But the reason they do that, the reason they cry is because they feel like they have to do that.
Forced to do it.
And they don't want to do it.
I've seen that. I've definitely seen that.
That's a conflict of emotionals. And we don't have time to break that down. Hoo-wee.
Well, I think that's a good point, though. So if you even are forced to beat a child to prove a point, I don't know how effective that is for you or them.
My mother told me one time, I ran from her. I never forget this. She said, I ran from her, and I ran to the closet. She said, don't you run. If you run, you're going to get a whooping. And I said, Mama, what happened? She said, you got a spanking. I said, I don't remember that. I said, did you beat me so hard you made me lose my memory? Because I don't recall that whatsoever. Ever. She said, oh, yeah, I beat you. I said, I don't know what happened. So, to this day, I have no idea of what happened. My mama could
be time capsule.
Till I tell the truth, but, you know, so, yeah.
But, well, with that being said, what are two key takeaways from today? One.
You want to give your children the door to always walk through for communication. And you can't necessarily put a door there if you're always ready to spank them.
Yeah.
The same way with the fingernail polish, the toenail polish and everything, that situation really can manifest itself. Now, with that situation, the child may not get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It may take 2 or 3 times, but if you're consistent with that, I guarantee you it will change.
Yeah.
Secondly, I know how hard it is to be a parent. I think I've said this several times. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to ever belittle the challenges of parenting. But if you take the time out to learn how to communicate with your children on their level, you have a better chance of having a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. But imagine you communicating with a child, how that can resonate in your adult conversations.
That's a whole other conversation.
If you can learn some of the things that you learned today and practice them, you literally can use that technique with any person at any age.
It's amazing you should say that, because in my class, I do a whole scenario with the child getting in trouble at school. And I have two people play the parents, and two people play, and one person play the child. And one boy came in there and said, "Young lady, what happened?" And I said, "That's new. Who taught you that?" He said, "That's how my father talks to me whenever I get in trouble." Mm. I said, "Interesting." I said, "Does it help?" He said, "Yeah, it does, because it makes me think about doing something wrong the second time." I said, "Wow." Now, everybody else in the room was, "What happened?" Like, going off, I'm not coming. I can't keep on coming off work from trying to take care of you. You're going to get in trouble. You know you're going to get a beat when you get home. These third, fourth, fifth grade class.
Yeah.
I said, "Whoa."
Mocking their parents, though.
Just mocking their parents. And I asked him, I said, "Well, this is her fifth time being in the principal's office. Okay?" I was like, "So you're going to go home and spank her?" "Yeah, she's going to get a beat. I'm going to get that belt." You know, they got all these sayings. I said, "So is that effective?" "Yeah, but this is her fifth time in the principal's office." "Oh. So what can we do?"
Differently.
See, so now the process is thinking. We didn't do the critical thinking, but yeah. Now the critical thinking begins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you said it right. Whatever you're going to do is either going to teach them to keep doing it
right.
or not doing it.
And like you said earlier, kids who get beat all the time, they're not thinking, "I should not do this to get beat."
Yeah.
They're thinking, "How can I do this, get away with it,
right,
so I don't get caught, so I won't get beat?"
That's criminal thinking.
Yeah. But they're still doing it.
Right. That's right.
Because when the child is 37, 48, 59 years old, you're going to be beating them then?
Yeah. And so, and that's why this whole conversation really is not about being judgmental. It's about helping you.
Yes.
Even as a parent, to critically think on how whatever you're going to do is going to impact the child.
Because when parents come to me, I ask them a series of questions. And they said, "Well, Josh, what am I supposed to do? Because the only time he listens is when I beat him." Mm. And I was like, "Well, is there any other thing we can do?" "No, ain't nothing else we can do." And then I go back to their childhood. It's a process. And I said, they tell me, "Well, I got beat." I said, "Was it effective?" "No." I say, "So it wasn't effective. I still did what I was. I was still sneaking out the house. My mama just didn't catch me." Mm-hmm. I was like, "But you're doing the same thing with your child."
"Right."
"But that's the way I was raised." Mm-hmm. "But okay, let's pray all this together." "Seriously?" "Right." "So was it effective?"
"Right."
"It wasn't effective for you, so it's effective for him." And then you see it. But the challenge is they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they feel like that's the only way because that's all they know.
That's the only tools that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, we'll work with it." I said, "But first you got to come to this conclusion. I can't tell you how to think, but you got to come to that conclusion on your own that this is not effective."
Right.
"Now, let's see if we can come up with some ways that can be more effective."
Right. And don't rationalize. And we'll leave that at that.
What do you mean by rationalize?
Parents that rationalize doing certain things to their child, like, "Well, I did it because of XYZ."
Oh, yeah.
We're going to leave that at that. Ooh, so, we will be having more topics about parenting and disciplining. Communication and disciplining is what this
is. Communication is discipline.
I mean, this was a good topic. Give us your feedback. Tell us how you feel. OMJJpodcast@gmail.com. Like, share, comment. And, of course, listen to us on all our platforms.
Can they go to the Facebook and leave us a message?
You can. And remember, this is normally premiering live, so you can either respond during the podcast itself, or you can come back later and send us messages.
Yeah. Any kind of feedback you have, especially to me.
Let us know.
Tell me I'm raggedy. I can deal with it.
I have low self-esteem. I don't want you, need you to do that.
He's
mad because I took his line. Well, thank y'all for listening and watching OMJJ Pop-Up Podcast. Thank you very much.